The attacks and schemes of Satan that are designed to destroy are not more powerful or as strong as the Lord's ability to protect and deliver us. I want you to remember that. I was sitting down this morning before Alan came in and was just thinking as I was reading the Bible. I want to repeat that. The attacks and schemes of Satan that are designed to destroy are not more powerful than our Lord's ability to protect and deliver us. When something is happening physically, family-wise, materially, financially, it's not a time to panic. It's a time to pray and believe. Faith is designed to bring us to a place of expectation. Expectation that something good is going to happen out of what Satan meant to kill, steal, and destroy. The problem is many of us were not equipped mentally to sustain, or not sustain, but to repulse the attacks of the enemy. We know God lives within us, but our mind becomes weak, and we wear out, and we are not in a place to refute the lies and the demonic attacks that Satan brings us. And we need to grow in that area. God has never promised, in spite of somebody telling you, come to Christ and all your problems are over, which is a major stretch. I'm being kind. The Bible doesn't say you won't have any issues. But the Bible says, I'll prepare you to deal with the issues. I'll prepare you to overcome. I'll prepare you to walk in victory. I'll prepare you to be an overcomer. Yes. And don't think for a moment because you have an attack of the enemy that you've sinned or your faith is weak or you've done something wrong. Most likely you're doing something right. Now that was a good place to shout amen. Amen. You could have missed one there. And so we come to a place where we have to understand, because there are people out there who will put you down immediately when you go through a problem. Well, it seems to me like I read a couple books about a man named Paul. And he really never had any problems, did he? Because he was so close to Jesus. Missed another place to shout amen. I got to help you today. And so as we understand that we have become an object that Satan wants to destroy, we need to be prepared for what he's going to do emotionally so we don't have an emotional collapse when something goes wrong. I think I'll have Kirk come back and sing. Okay, I want to take you to Luke 17. I really worked all week on how to get a message where I could really beat you up. And so I thought I'd preach on the 9 lepers. But I'm not going to. I'm going to preach on 1 leper. We hear about all these lepers and we think of 9, but there was one who did what God asked him and expected him to do. Let's focus on what somebody did for God instead of what somebody didn't do. Okay? Now it happened as he went through Jerusalem in verse 11 of Luke 17 that he passed through this midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men. Say 10. Who were lepers and who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. What do you think that means? He was healed. They were healed. Okay. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, what difference does that make? A Samaritan was as much of an outcast as a leper was. You got me? They were a mixed breed. They weren't accepted by either group. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? To where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? He said, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. I believe something we miss is that we don't look for places to be thankful. It seems like our minds are always in turmoil or in a crisis. And if something's not going wrong, we get concerned because something's not wrong. So we make a problem out of every blessing. Well, these 10 lepers came to Jesus. I want you to try a little bit of thinking with me. How many of your confessed sins does God remember? Okay. So how much time do you focus on what you didn't do than what you did? Right. We always remember the negative side of our lives. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Instead of realizing the positive things that God did. If you notice it, Jesus never rebuked anybody. He just said, where were the 9? But I'll guarantee you, before Thanksgiving, somebody's going to preach about the 9. I don't want you leaving here with your head hung down, and your nose rubbing on the carpet, and you just feel lower than a snail. I want you leaving here knowing that your life is pleasing God, that you're walking this life out, and you're ready for what the enemy brings to you. You're not worried about attack of the enemy. You're concerned about the fact, how do I tear him down some more? And that's important. If we focus on what happened or what we didn't do or what we did that's wrong, the chances are pretty likely you'll repeat it. You say, what are you talking about? Because that's what we're thinking about. And when we do that, we open a door for the enemy to come in and attack. And so what is in the past and what we didn't do and what we did do and the things like that, let's leave them back there. It's like somebody said, and we're going to get to the leper in a moment. God put our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. We need to erect a sign that says no fishing.
That's right.
No fishing. So this leper came back and fell down, worshiped God, praised him, thanked him. He said he fell on his face at his feet giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Have you ever decided that you really want to break down and find out what Thanksgiving means? Or do we just casually go through it? And we think it's time to have turkey and pumpkin pie and dressing and potatoes. And we're all hungry now. The Greek word for thanksgiving is eucharis. EU means good or well. And charis, CHARIS, means grace. Okay, can you put some things together? Thanksgiving means an outpouring of grace and wonderful feelings that freely flow from the heart in response to someone or something. An outpouring of grace and wonderful feelings. How many of you are emotional? How many of your emotions are wonderful? That flow from the heart in response in our heart. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the what?
The mouth speaks.
And so, out of the heart, the mouth is speaking praise, thanksgiving, grace, love to someone who's blessed them. And that's what the leper did. He comes to the Lord and he begins to express. Thanksgiving. But does your face and your mouth know that your heart is thankful? So as you're walking along and as you're living and as you're doing things, the Bible says, do everything, say everything,
everything.
Without murmuring,
murmuring
or complaining. How many are resembling that? Can you stand up and say, I resemble that? We were doing doors yesterday, and I might as well come to confession because I better sit down so I don't just hurt myself. We're doing the doors. And so this guy said, well, I can get you this door. It's going to be the right size for $650. And the other ones are $300, but they got to specially make this one. You should say, poor pastor. Let me hear. And so I go to pick up the door. They made it big. So it cost me $350 to get almost the same size door extra. No, poor Luke and James and Will and Benny, they had to make the door fit. You know, it'd have been easy, and all of a sudden I was started saying something, and like, man, this is $300 more than I expect. Well, then I thought, let's just put it in. Be thankful. Man, it was nice. The wind didn't move the house last night. And Dave, the man of faith, he has come over this morning and said, are your doors still on? But we need to learn that our thankfulness and our praise to God can change somebody's life. Yeah. I was listening this week. And this guy was in a hurry to get home. He was just in a rush. And he was kind of a workaholic and never spent a lot of time with his family. And he gets to the toll gate and there's a lineup all back. You remember those toll booths where you have to pay?
Yeah.
This summer, Kirk? And he's sitting there, waiting. It's taken all day. He's behind this guy. They're not going. And he wondered what happened. And so he pulled up, and the lady in the booth said, "Hey, this guy paid your toll. 75 cents. But it never ended there. Something clicked in his mind, and he went home and he sat down with his 21-year-old son and said, "Son, I'm sorry. I haven't been much of a dad. I haven't been home. I've been yelling at you, been in your face." Kid starts crying. And dad says, "What's going on?" He said, "Dad, I just bought a pistol this afternoon. Tonight I was going to end it." Just a little act of kindness, a little act of someone is blessed, a little act where things are going right. You don't know how just a little thing will touch someone and change their life. Like this guy, this leper, wasn't loved by anybody, but Jesus took time to minister to him. He comes back and falls at Jesus' feet with thanksgiving, and he leaves, and Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, "Your faith has made you whole." Now, what's the difference from being whole and being healed? The word whole is zozo. It means be delivered, to be healed, to be set free, to break the bondage, to, even have a creative miracle. Understand something. Lepers sometimes don't have fingers. They don't have toes. A lot of times they don't have a nose. I'm not trying to make you hungry, but it's part of the fact. I personally believe, and you can check on this, I personally believe that when Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole," the body parts came back. Cool. And why not? And so this man who came back to thank God received more than he could ever ask for.
That's right.
And what a blessing. It's not so much that we have unthankful hearts within us. It's a fact that we at times feel inadequate or embarrassed to express it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know what we're used to doing? If somebody helps us, what's the first thing we say? "How much do I owe you?" Right? Somebody pulls you out of the ditch. Someone changes your tire. Someone gives you a ride. "Well, can I pay you?" You know what most people would love to hear? Just a heartfelt thank you. Thank you for helping. Thank you for being concerned. Thank you for being compassionate. Thank you for caring. So what kind of life should we have as believers? I was going to bring some people up, but I think I won't, because nobody likes to be the devil. Maybe I can pick a couple. On one side you have the devil, on the other side you have God. On one side, the devil's saying, "You're worthless, you have no value, nobody cares for you, no one loves you." On the other side, you have a God that says, "You have purpose, you have a destiny, I have a plan, I've designed you, you have value, you are loved and honored." Which one do we serve? Which one do we pay attention to? And if and when we really listen to what God is telling us, doesn't that stir something within us to say, "I got to praise him. I got to thank him. He is worthy. And so we come to a place, regardless of what's going on, that out of our lips, the fruit of our mouth, we give thanks. And we're not ashamed of it. Amen?
Amen.
I got a feeling that praise and thanksgiving and honoring God and blessing God just absolutely feeds him. And that's why we praise and worship God as much as we preach the word, simply for the fact that that's the only part of this service that's really about God. The rest of it's for us. The leper came back and expressed his gratitude. He expressed it more than just saying thank you. He fell before him. He got on his face. He didn't care who was watching. He who was on death row, as far as his physical body was concerned, came back to express the fact, I'm healed. I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say it. Thank you, Jesus. Can't hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Say it again. Thank you, Jesus. I can tell you something, that as we have an attitude of gratitude, and I'm not trying to form a cliche, and we begin to praise God, it's going to break the despondency and the despair and the stuff in our head that's trying to take us down. But the problem is, we get so used to listening to everything in our head that we think that's normal, and thanksgiving is abnormal. And even though if you don't remember it, understands God still has a better plan. The Bible says in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me give you a different angle. Chew on it a little bit. I believe what God is saying, I don't care what you're going, he does care. That's just my terminology. It doesn't matter what you're going through, have an attitude of thanksgiving. No matter what's happening in your life, have an attitude of thanksgiving. Don't come to despair. Don't come to despondency. Don't allow depression. Don't allow fear. Don't think about worry. And don't think you have to, well, I got to do some more stuff for God to get through this. No, you don't. You just need to trust him. Ephesians 5:20, for everything give thanks. Wow. Now that's getting a little tougher. For everything. You mean, God, that in 1967 when my mom and dad were killed, that I got to thank God for that? No. God didn't do it. He wants you to know that he wants me to know when my mom and dad were killed, he was with me and I can thank him for his presence. I can thank him because he's undergirding me. I can thank him because he's holding me up. I can thank him because he's with me. I can thank him because I can go through whatever, because God is here right now. And when we look at things through the glasses that God has failed or God didn't care or God did some horrific thing to us, God is not into horrific things. God's into saving and blessing and healing and ministering, and people die because we're human. Thank him because he went through it with you. Thank you that when thing happened, he didn't abandon you. He didn't leave you. He didn't take off. He didn't run away. And you're here today probably because in your hardest moment, in that evil day when things seemed to fall apart, God took you through them. And what a blessing. Isn't it comforting to know that when times get tough, the grace of God seems stronger? When things seem like there's no hope, God is there right in the midst of that place where you see no hope, and He's undergirding you and He's strengthening you, and He's just waiting for you to say, I know you're here, God, thank you. I didn't say be easy. But what does negativity prove? What does self-pity prove? When I turn everything inward and look at myself, I fall apart. If I turn everything inward and look at God, where does God reside? In here. I got strength. Because His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And when you start thanking God, and when you start praising God, and when you start glorifying God, you take the focus off you and put it on Him, and He can handle it all. Amen. He can handle it all. Psalm 34. As we do another responsive reading. No, I'm joking. I will. Say, I will.
I will.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. I will is amazing. You have made a determination, the psalmist made a determination, no matter what, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to thank Him. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I'll be thankful and bless His name, for the Lord, He is good. As we close, what's happening in your life that keeps you from being thankful? What happens? What happens in your life where you begin to look at things and you focus on things and your mind just simply begins to spin, dysfunction? And all of a sudden you went from up here to down here and you don't get a hold of it. And it spirals down and down and down and down until you're not even sure you're human. And when that begins to happen, we begin to look for the wrong answers. We begin to think about what Satan wants instead of what God wants, and we start appropriating that Satan's thoughts are our thoughts. And Satan's things are run from God, take your life, get out of here, don't go to church, God doesn't care, nothing's ever going to change. And we, like the hamster on the treadmill, except it's going around and it's going around and it's going around and it's going around, and pretty soon we're wore out. And Satan wears us down so he can bring disease, he can bring all kinds of things, he can start messing with your head. and we start believing is normal. There's an antidote for what Satan does. There was an antidote through Christ for sin, that was his blood. There's an antidote to the deception and lies of Satan, that's listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. And we start quoting the scriptures that we know. Not about Judas, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. My peace I give with you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In everything, don't be anxious, but with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In everything, first of all, be thankful. Keep your thankful attitude. And you can do it. That's the real key. You can do it as we focus on Jesus and not the problem. As we turn our attention to God, as we focus on God, we get so caught up. Wow, okay, let me stop. Time out. God, this is for somebody. God didn't call you to bear somebody else's burdens or problems. I know moms and grandmas and all the stuff going on, it's so easy to get caught up with something happened to my granddaughter, something happened to my daughter, something happened here, there's a family issue, there's a situation, and all of a sudden we are all bogged down and our Thanksgiving went down the tubes. Don't carry things God hasn't equipped you to carry. If you have an issue that's not your issue, pray for the person that has the issue. You don't have to get in there and carry it, and that becomes your issue. Because what they are carrying may kill you. And all the grandmother said, all two of you. You know, God didn't make you to be a peacekeeper. He made you to be a peacemaker. God didn't form you so you could carry every other burden, everybody's burdens. He formed you so that you could carry your own. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, let everybody carry their own burden. There are some things we carry, but you can't carry the burden of the whole community. Say it with me, I love, pastor, fearing. I'm looking at you and I think somebody's got a handful of stones. Allow the Holy Spirit, seriously, allow the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with thanksgiving because we have a wonderful, amazing, and good God. And he didn't design your defeat. He designed your victory. And he loves you, and he accepts you, and he wants to help you, but at times we block it out with fear and worry, and we won't listen to what, because God's talking to us. God's talking to us, but we refuse to listen. And then we listen at times to the wrong voices. Let's listen to God. Amen? Amen. Amen.